this is awesome. This has been a lot kind of leading up to this. And it's cool that I finally get to be up here and to kind of share my story. Yeah, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Brandon. I am the kids and worship director here at Gateway. And I've actually been a part of this church for over 10 years. And I've been able to volunteer to help serve the kids, the youth, and in the music ministry for a while. And so it's been pretty awesome to kind of, as I transition from just being in the congregation on staff. And I'm really excited. It's a big blessing to be here and to bring the word today. So a little bit more background about me. I am currently finishing up a bachelor's degree in education. One more year. If, for those of you that don't know me, I have been in school for forever. I did business school for like 3 years. I took a few years off, and then I kind of like found my way into education, and it's been so cool. And I finally found a spot that's going to work for me, and I know that that's something that God wants to use. But He has actually been pulling my heart towards church ministry and being a pastor for a really long time. And it's taken me years of kind of navigating that, figuring out what works, what doesn't work, and finally kind of understanding that and just accepting that. Not that that's a bad thing, but I think it's just knowing when you what God's called you to be and finally like saying yes and walking out into that is so awesome. And it's funny, like now that I'm up here, I think about people that speak, whether that be, you know, a pastor or like a someone who's like motivationally speaks, like they always say, they're like, man, I never saw myself being a speaker. I can't talk well. I'm not very articulate. Maybe I stutter over my words. I just never thought I'd see myself as a speaker. And I'm not going to lie, I feel somewhat that way. I can do like this feels different. Leading music, leading worship feels a little bit different, but being up here is like, it's a little nerve-wracking. It's funny, like I told this story last time I spoke at youth, and it kind of gives a little insight into that. In grade 7, you start to do oral speeches. You start to give these talks, and so I had a talk on Alexander the Great. And so I'm kind of like someone that is somewhat of a perfectionist, and I'm somewhat worried about what other people are thinking, especially when I was younger. And we'll kind of get into that a little bit more. But so I got this speech lined up, and I got her dialed, like really, really dialed. I got my cue cards. I got this and that. I'm ready to go. It's going to be Brandon the Great. Like, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be Brandon the Great. He's going to destroy this speech, and it's going to be awesome. And so I get up there. I got my cue cards. I'm ready to go. And I start giving this speech. And you know when, like, they're like the little things start to flash in your eyes and the color's starting to go. And, like, that's usually a sign that all, like, the blood is coming, is, like, leaving your brain and you're about to go down. That's what started to happen, but I never realized that. So then they kind of black out. Luckily, I didn't fall over. I come to, cue cards are on the floor. My teacher's right there, like, holding me up. And I'm like, oh, shoot. I am going, this is not good. But what I need this to say is just, it's funny to be in this position now. And that when those moments where you might feel like you're not qualified, that He makes us qualified. And that He kind of fills in all those gaps. And He can give us the strength to do things that we kind of never thought that we could do. So with that, yeah, that's good, eh? There, that's it. I'm done. Like, we're good to go. I got something that I'd love to share with y'all. And it comes from a certain chapter in my life, which has by far been the most influential. But being the most influential, it's also been the darkest and the hardest for me. But I can stand here today, and I'm a better person for it. That God has taken me through it, and I'm a completely different person. And it's pretty cool to walk through that and to come out the other side and to be new and to be okay. And I'm better than okay. I'm better than I've ever been. So it begins, story begins in a season of my life where like things are great. If you maybe took a snapshot, you'd be like, oh yeah, Brandon's looks like Brandon's life's going pretty good. I had a great family, great childhood. Things are coming up. I have a blooming hockey career. I think I'm going somewhere, or I'm hoping to anyways. And I have a great Christian girlfriend, and things are kind of going in a trajectory that are awesome. And fast forward a couple of years, I end up getting a scholarship. I head down to the States, and things are great. Fast forward one more year, it's 2015, and I get to marry the love of my life. And we get to begin to start a life together. And it was great, and you have those dreams and you have those hopes. But little did I know that only a year and a half later, I'd be facing the end of my marriage and a future that was very, very uncertain. But God carried me through that situation. And I am very happy to say that there's been a journey through that, and I'm going to share about that today. And so there are many things that kind of add, that kind of play into the part of a marriage being difficult and a marriage ending. And there's so many of those details that don't necessarily add to this story. And so I'm going to only share a few of them anyways. But I think we all know from relationships, communication, past experiences, our hurts, our struggles, all these things play into a relationship, different assumptions, they come together and they really affect a relationship. And I've learned this from walking through this and from counseling, like good counseling. And so this is my point to say, like, counseling is super important. And no matter if you feel like you're going through a lot or you might not even know, like, it's so good to talk and to share those things because it can bring such clarity, and there's no shame in that. So that's just my heart for counseling, is that it's just been so good. It's been so good for me. And so all these things kind of come together and play a part in how marriages work and how they end and how they act. But for us, though, as things began to gather and had to move in a direction, I could see my wife's life becoming slowly separate from mine. And as I begin to go on this journey, things begin to break down, and all I wanted to do was kind of change what was happening. All I wanted to do was fix it. My heart was for this marriage. My heart was for making things better. And so those things, and you're so focused on that, these things began to bring a huge level of stress and anxiety and even depression. And it kind of comes to a head where I was at the bottom, and there was nothing, and all I could see was the situation, and it was so hard because I wanted so good, but nothing was kind of shifting, and nothing was changing. But, and it all came to this point, and one night I ended up listening to a sermon by Stephen Furtick, and the sermon was called Fix Your Focus. And the whole idea was, he had a magnifying glass, and it's what you focus on, you magnify. So if you think about a magnifying glass, and you look through a magnifying glass, all you see is that one thing really big. You can't see anything else. And so I took that, and I thought about my situation, and all I was doing was focusing on the situation. All I was doing was trying to fix, trying to shift, trying to make things better. And that's not inherently bad, but that brought so much onto my life, and brought that depression, brought that stress, that anxiety, like, that's all I could think about. It was all consuming. And so I realized that after I listened to that message, that I needed to let that go, that I needed to fix my focus. And thankfully, from what I've grown up in the church and all these things that I've heard, I knew that Jesus was my only option, that God was my only option. And I had to fix my gaze off of that situation and put my gaze onto him. And that was the only way that things were going to get better. When we hit the bottom and Jesus becomes the only option and we decide to take that option, that's when something changes. That's when something changes, and then it's amazing. And from that day on, things have never been the same for me. God was with me through the fire the entire time. And when I took my gaze off of the situation, I looked up and I locked eyes with him, and he walked me through. He walked me through everything. And I didn't get that miracle. I didn't get what I was hoping for. Chose to walk away. But I can stand here to say that God is still good, and that what the enemy meant for evil, God used it for better. And I'm a changed person because of that. I didn't want to walk through that, and I don't want to ever have to do that again, but I am thankful for the person that I am because of that situation. God is good. He is a good God, and he walked me through that situation. I'm not the same person that I once was, but this person that I've heard about my entire life, I had to trust him. Jesus is the answer. He always is, and he is enough for us. So I want to start off by saying that God didn't cause my marriage to fail. He didn't cause this thing to happen in my life. He is a good God. There is free will in a relationship with him, and that because a real relationship has that free will. If it doesn't have that choice, if it doesn't have that, then it's not a real relationship. And so he allows that, and it's a result of sin and choices and the enemy in this world that cause these difficult things to happen in our lives. God doesn't want those things to happen. He doesn't wish for these things to happen. Sometimes it's a combination of our own choices. Sometimes it's just the world swirling and things start to happen. But it's not God. It says in John 10:10, that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. We got to hold on to that. And remember that through these things that God is good no matter what. No matter what we walk through, the enemy is going to try and shift our focus and get us to walk away from him. But when you push into him and you press into him in those situations, there's beauty and there's power that can come from it. He's God with us, Emmanuel. It's so good if you can, I've started to learn some of the names of God and God with us, Emmanuel. If you hold on to that, God with us through the fire, God with us through the storm. What I've found through my fiery season is that I was beautifully exposed. All of me, my struggles, my fears, everything was exposed through that. All the things I wasn't meant to carry were pushed to the surface. And then Jesus began to do a beautiful thing in me that he still continues to do to this day. If you've been around church before, you've probably heard this term about the refiner's fire, how God takes us and shapes us and begins to mold us and make us into what we are supposed to be. In 1 Peter, there's a couple places in the Bible that talks about it, but in 1 Peter 1:6-7, it says, so be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day where Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. That's so true. That's so good. And so I want to talk about this idea of being the refiner's fire and being forged in the fire. Have you ever seen that? You ever heard about that show, Forged in the Fire? Where they're pretty much making weapons and forging weapons. It's probably one of those shows that you wouldn't like regularly watch. You probably like flicking through and you're like, oh, Forging the Fire, maybe I'll watch that. And then you 7 hours go by because there's a marathon on and you just watch people make swords for forever. I'd probably attest it to like when a lot of you ladies like say yes to the dress and it's on all the time and you just end up watching it forever. And so I whenever I think of Forged in the Fire or Refiner's Fire, I always go back to this show and this idea. And when I'm thinking about my story in the Refiner's Fire, I just go back to this idea of a sword or of gold being refined. So when forging these metals, metalsmiths have to get gold, or if they're forging a weapon, to a certain temperature. So, and especially in gold, these temperatures, when the temperature rises and hot enough, all those impurities begin to be pushed to the surface. They can scrape away all the impurities, and then you're left with the pure gold. And also, when you think about when they're forging swords, and especially in the show too, they need to get that environment, they need to get that thing as hot as it can, so then they can shape, and they can shape that sword into the right the blade, whatever they're doing, whatever they're needing to use it for. And when I think about this, I think about God and how sometimes we can think that he starts the fire, but he doesn't start those fires. He uses the environment. And I think even sometimes we think that God's not in control, or when you're in that fire and it hurts, he's right there. If you think about the metalsmith, there's times where they probably have to take their hands off and they're just waiting for things to get to temperature. But they're in control of that situation. They know what needs to happen. They know the environment. They know the temperature that things need to get. And once it's there, then they can mold and they can shift. And so that's one of these illustrations that's always in my head, that especially the fact that we think that our fires are, it's so easy to blame God in those situations, but he just uses them. He takes what's the enemy meant for evil, and he makes them so better, so much better. And so Jesus took me on the same journey of the things, those things that were tough in my life, and then they were pushed to the surface. And I never thought I would, like I said before, be so beautifully exposed through this fire. That he wasn't just going to heal my hurts from my broken marriage, but all my hurts, my insecurities, my struggles, he wants to take care of every single thing. He brought awareness to me in ways that I never realized before. And it took a difficult situation for me to finally see it. And so I just want to talk about a couple verses here. There's a picture of the flame and the fire, the forging of the fire. So in Hebrews, it talks about this discipline, this reproof, this fiery forging that happens in our lives, and says, "For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best that they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet, so those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong." So good. God's reproof and discipline, it's not harsh. It convicts us and calls us up to better, but there's not shame and condemnation there. It's a gentle, Brandon, that's not quite right. That's not great. You can do better than that. It's a calling up, and it's a discipline, but he does discipline. He does reprove us. But what I've found is that there's a beauty in it. As he shows us those things, he shows us those things that might not be the nicest, might not be our favorite things about ourselves, but he shows us them, and then he walks us through them. And once you have an awareness of those things, then you have power to know that you don't have to be that anymore. And so he began to change my identity and created me a new person, just like he said that he would. A new way of seeing myself and a new way of seeing him. One of the most significant things that happened, and it's one of those things that I'm just starting to even realize all the more through the situation, is that all those things that I've known in my head my entire life, that I had head knowledge of and I believed, they're starting to become real through relationship with him and through this situation. It became more than head knowledge as I applied what I knew about him and trusted him with my life. The scriptures I had heard my entire life, many of the scriptures became my reality. Jesus became real to me as he became my comforter and my friend, and as an actual relationship began to grow. Like, I needed him in this space. Like, there was nothing else that I had other than him. and he became my comforter. And as I grew in this and I walked in this relationship, I saw those verses becoming true. I saw the truth that's in this book, and that I've heard my entire life. I'm like, wow, that stuff's actually happening. And that's pretty amazing as it comes from head, it gets in your heart, and then you start to see it actually move. And I want to talk about a few of those things. That he satisfied my every need. John 6:35 says, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I found that to be the case. As I trusted him, I needed to be in him, and he filled in all those places. You know, it's not always easy. And there's sometimes those you're thirsting for more, you want more, and you're hurting, and you want different things. But when I was struggling, I felt like I didn't have enough, or that I was alone. I pressed into him, and I didn't thirst. I didn't hunger. This verse became an actual reality in my life. And another verse is that we can have peace that transcends our circumstances. In Philippians 4:4-9, it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. This is the part. Don't be worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you experience God's peace, what exceeds anything you can understand. He'll peace regard your hearts as you live in Christ Jesus. And I live in a peace, and as you pursue him and walk with him, you live in a peace that transcends the way that you should be feeling in your situations and in life. You know, I carry a peace that I never thought I had before. You know, the world can be swirling around you, and there can be different things that are happening, whether those are big or small, and you can lift your eyes up, point to Jesus, and there's a peace that comes. Jehovah Shalom is another name of him, is that the peace. He is peace. And Isaiah talks about his perfect peace, and that is him, and as you shift your eyes and you shift your focus onto him, that peace can come, and we can walk out our lives with him in an incredibly different way. I read a book by Brian Johnson, and it kind of is called When God Becomes Real, and I connected with a lot of that book, as it's kind of a journey of him walking through his fears, walking through his anxieties, and God becoming real in that situation because he showed up. And I can connect with that more than just the ways of God showing up, because he did show up, but some of those ideas of fear. And it all connects back to that idea, again, of those verses, those things that I held on to, that truth that I've known my entire life, they began to be real. And it's true. And I know that this is something that's coming from my heart and from my situation. And sometimes it might be, if we all walk through different things. But I'm telling you that if you shift your focus and you put your trust in him, these things do begin to come true. This word is truth. I've seen it in my own life, and I want to encourage you with that. And so these ways and these things... like I said, these verses began to, all the things I heard from as a boy, talking about peace, a new creation, a light burden. I could see the person of Jesus making all these things come true. God is doing exactly what he says he would, shifting the way that we think. Become more like Jesus through relationship with him. He changes our outlook. He changes our mindset. I love this one verse in Romans 12:2, and it's this one translation's been kind of sticking out to me. It's in the Passion Translation, but it's, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. A total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. And again, it continues, this is a different verse in Ephesians 4:22. But put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Again, that renewal of your mind. There's a new mindset, a new way of thinking, a new way of being. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so these are these verses that as I begin to walk with him and trust in him through the situation, these things, my mind begins to shift. The way that I think, the way that I respond to life isn't the typical response. And it's not perfect always, but it's like we bounce back. You begin to bounce back quicker. You begin to think of him quicker. You begin to have him on your mind as he reforms the way that we think. Brian struggled with fear and anxiety, and it's something that I, too, have kind of struggled with my entire life, and it's not something that I really realized until kind of reading that book, and I started tracing back to when I was a little kid, and I was always so scared. I was scared of this or that, and whether that be something at nighttime, but I was always fearful of something. And then I kind of grow, and as I grow older, that kind of manifests itself as being, worried about what people think. Frozen to make decisions, unable to make those decisions because you're so worried. And you can't even be who you were meant to be because of the things that were holding me so stiff. But through God's refining process, his perfect love casts out all those struggles, it casts out all those fears. And this is another verse that I saw playing out and changing in my life. That 1 John 4:16. To 18. I think we got 15 up there too. We know how much God loves us, and we have to put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love, love in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. And this is the part. So such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. And that's the key part. That I had so much fear in my life because I hadn't fully experienced his perfect love. I wasn't rooted in an identity that was based on my relationship with him. I was worried about all these other things, all these other identities were the things that were bringing fear. And so I wasn't able to actually be who he called me to be. This process, he showed me my fears. He showed me that he chooses me. And I don't have to fear what others think because he loves me and he calls me his son. And he calls all of you his sons and daughters. This process has been a journey of God filling in all my hurts with his love. Shifting my identity from how I saw myself and how others saw me to the way that he sees me. I can look back on my marriage and I didn't even know how broken. Or just look back on me. I didn't even know how broken I was inside, how fear crippled me. I had so many pieces in my life. How could I really love someone when there was so much of me that was missing, right? And God took me through that process from now. I didn't realize those things back then. But it's like God's perfect love, and when he's rooted in there. And I think I want to talk about those relationships, is that when our relationships, when our marriages are so, they're just rooted in Jesus, then he satisfies everything that we need. And so out of the overflow, out of the love from him that we receive, then we can serve and we can lay down our lives to serve our other person. But it's out of that relationship. If there's misidentity, if there's things that are not working in, then there's going to be struggles, there's going to be those things that needs to be our life rooted with him, and then we can love and we can serve and pour out, and that's more than just in a marriage too. If we're satisfied in him, if we don't have fears, we can walk out with him and trust him in our lives. And so what God wants to do is take us from the fire and into the freedom, and that's what he's done with me. If this journey has taught me anything, that it's that we really only tiptoe in what he has for us. I think so often in our relationships with God, we get into a certain place and it's good, and we don't even realize that there's this whole inner court. There's this whole fullness that he's purchased for us, that Jesus on the cross purchased for us. The veil was torn so that we could enter into this fullness, enter into this inner court, and we just kind of tiptoe and wander around the gate. I found that in my own life, that as I've kind of walked and pushed into relationship with him, that there is so much more freedom when we walk with him. And so in Hebrews, it quickly we'll talk about that. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter into heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain and into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. It doesn't have to be just head knowledge. But when we apply that head knowledge, these things that we hear in services, we can actually walk in a relationship with him, and these things become true. We've heard this verse before, but God's, our lives are meant to be light. There's meant to be light and free. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach from you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" And that doesn't mean that it's not going to be difficult and that there's not going to be hard things. I would say that I've walked through some hard things, and we've all walked through hard things in many different ways. But it's that perspective, it's that focus, it's that shift of thinking that when we walk with him, that he frees us to be able to walk through those circumstances differently, and we begin to have a light life, and that the situations, these things can come, and we can have freedom. Relationship with Jesus changes everything. It changed everything for me. Not that I didn't have it before, but it became so much more real through this situation. As you begin to refine me and change me and show those hurts and shift those things in me, I begin to walk in more freedom than I've ever begun to walk in. So I want you to know, church, that you're not alone. You're never going to be alone because he's with you and he is for you. And there's so much that he has for us, this new way of thinking, this total reformation of the way that we think, and it's true, and it's happening. Bands, if you guys want to come back up, I'm just going to close. I went to Bethel Music Worship School last summer, and I came back with such a burning for freedom, that we would walk in all that he has for us. To not just tiptoe, but to walk into the fullest, to jump into the deep end with him. And I think you can see it that there's something different in the church lately. That there's a shift, that people aren't satisfied anymore. They want more. I think you can look at the outside and look at life as people search and yearn for so many different things, whether that be on our phones or it's so much self, and we're just trying to fill our lives and to be happy in so many different ways. But true happiness and those things are never going to be filled until we really trust him and we really walk in relationship. Jesus fills that place. Jesus fills that place. So let's trust him. I think we take the moment here that there may be big fires in our lives right now that we might be walking through. There might be a little fire. There might even be something that you don't even really know that's going on in your life. It might be something from the past that you've kind of been holding on to. But God kind of began to walk in and show me and give me awareness of these things. And I think he wants to do that today. I think he wants to take us in from the fire and into freedom and be able to shake off the shame of our lives and shake off the fear and really walk in who he is. And I guess one of those things that it might sound complicated. It might sound like a lot, but it's a simple pursuit. It's just saying yes to him. It's just shifting your thoughts the way that you think as much as you can to him. And he's going to walk you through that. And it might be easy, and it's a process. I'm still walking through that journey. There's still times where I fall back into that old way of thinking, those old ways of being. But there's grace. That's the thing. He's a good God. It's not his reproof. His adjustments are they're not full of shame. They're not full of condemnation. He just calls us up to better. He's a good God. It's soft. He says he's gentle and humble. That's the voice that you want to listen to. That's where you want to be. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I believe God wants to rebuild us, to establish something new in us. It just comes from a simple pursuit. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's like slowing down life and beginning to focus on him with everything that you can. Jesus wants to just walk with you. He just wants to be with you. It's not as complicated as we make it out to be. Just sit at his feet. He wants to love you. He wants to be in all those hard places, in those tough places.